Good morning and welcome on this fine Sunday morning. Pastor is at home helping take care of the wife and kids. They've had some illness in their family, thankfully not related to the pandemic, but they've still been particularly ill. And so he's at home making sure that they're taken care of today. So thankfully we have a missionary with us, Brother Davis, and we'll introduce him a little later on, so he's going to be taking care of preaching today for us, and we're grateful for that. We do have a couple events coming up. You'll see on the screen behind me, we have the men's prayer meeting coming up on Saturday, and there's a request on there, guys. If you'll wear a favorite t-shirt, doesn't have to be your most favorite t-shirt, in case your most favorite t-shirt is worn out and your wife won't let you wear it in public anymore, just a favorite t-shirt of yours. And be prepared to explain kind of what it shows about you or your personality or your likes or dislikes. And we're going to have a good time of fellowship together with some savory food and some sweet food, because we're guys, we'll have both. And we'll be speaking some on being men of Christ, peculiar men of Christ. And then we'll look at the deadline today for 3rd through 6th. For the sign up for the harvest rally that's coming up. That's also Saturday. So if you're a father, you can drop off your kids, third to sixth grade kids, at the church, and they'll head off to the harvest rally, and you'll be there and get to eat breakfast for the trouble of dropping off the kids that morning. Okay? And that deadline to sign up, though, is today. So if you haven't signed up already, make sure that you go and sign up in the back at the Welcome Center before the end of services today. And then we have the teen deadline for the Harvest Rally at the Edge coming up on Wednesday. So we have a deadline on that as well. If you have an older student, 7th through 12th grade, their deadline is coming up on Wednesday. Make sure you get signed up for that as well. Tonight, we will still have everyone in the auditorium at 5 p.m. And we'll have a special time with our missionary. He's agreed to answer some of your questions, not necessarily all of them, but some of them. And then we'll have our Kids for Truth clubs resuming next Sunday, but we will hold off on beginning our new Bible club Sunday. Our new Bible clubs instead will begin the following week, so we're going to kind of fill in with what Pastor intended to do this week, continuing to talk about our vision for the upcoming year and introducing some of those Bible clubs to you. So again, that'll be Kids clubs resuming next week, but adults will still be in the auditorium together next Sunday evening. And then tonight we'll all be together, kids and adults, in the auditorium. All right, we're going to read together Psalm 96, 1 through 3. And if you'll find your place and read the first verse with me, and then I'll read the following two verses. And it says, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your protection over us, even as illnesses begin to go around. We're thankful, Lord, to even hear of just some normal kind of viruses and things going around. Not thankful people are ill, but thankful after a couple years of seeing this pandemic that has raged through our nation. We're thankful to have even just some normal everyday illnesses. And so we do ask, though, Lord, for your comfort over those families. Have them quick recoveries as they fight through them, and wisdom in discerning, giving the doctors wisdom and discerning on what is going around, how to treat it. We ask, Lord, as we go to you this morning, as you would bless our services together, our time with you. Thank you for Missionary Davis and having this opportunity to have him with us. We ask that you be with him as he speaks. Give him a clear mind and ready tongue to present the ministry that you've given to him and to preach your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
church planning ministry along with AEWE Team Poland. As part of Team Poland, we'll be working together to proclaim the gospel throughout Poland and the surrounding countries. Our goal is to establish churches, train leaders, and to see God glorified through it all. Let me just take just a few moments to show you some of the places and faces of Poland.
The Atlanta one run, I got a little interested in that one, but but I figured we'd have a little bit of time. So, hey, listen, you can open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, one thing I've noticed since the last time I was here, this is a different pulpit. The other one was about up to here on me. So I like this one. This is much better, okay? I kind of had to keep standing on the side, and I think somebody suggested that I have a step stool behind, and I just decided not to use that. So, all right, so yeah, just to kind of say thank you for having me here this morning, as I was sitting in the back and you all were coming in, I was encouraged by all the familiar faces for all the years. You know, the first time I actually came here was 1984. It was part of a pastor's fellowship. And then that next year, I came back and started at Atlantic. And so was I here from 85 to 89. And, yeah, I was involved just about everything. Did a bus route and all the Sunday schools that had all the letters after them, you know, all those. And then Awana program, all kinds of different things. So this was a great place to be. It was a great kind of ministry place to just God put me at. Not only was I able to go to school, but also be able to use and just serve while I was there. So this was a great place to be at for that and appreciate that opportunity. Then y'all, I got married, and the last time that we were here officially as far as a ministry was when we were going to Slovakia. I had both of my boys were itty-bitty little guys then, and my wife, Ricky, was with me. And so now, as Pastor Crane said, my wife, she's went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. I always say that she lost her battle with breast cancer, but she won the war. Yes. So she went to be with the Lord, and I'm thankful for her testimony and for the years that God used her to just pour his grace into my life. My two boys now, both of them are police officers. One's a deputy and the other one's a city cop. So I appreciate your prayers for them, as that is a interesting career field, as you guys know. but that's it. And God has actually been working. I've been up with Ken for the last 16 years now, and that's been just a tremendous ministry. And you know, hate working with Ken, terrible guy, just, you know, I mean, really, God just, when we came back from Slovakia, we really needed a place that we needed to be able to minister, but we needed a place to be ministered to. I know it sounds funny, but and God brought us there to Landmark in Elkins, and what a great place, what a bunch of great people, and then Ken was just has been just a great personal friend and just a great pastor to be under. And so I've been really privileged to be there. Before my wife's diagnosis, she was diagnosed on November the 1st, 2017. And previous to that, we had begun talking about, so what's it going to be like? What's it going to look like as far as the remainder of our ministry? You know, what are we going to kind of go out towards, and are we going to just stay here at Landmark, which would be a great thing, or maybe God would have us to do something else? And so as we began to pray about it, we really began to feel as though we were being led more back towards the mission field. And we actually, in October of 2017, had begun that conversations again with our old mission board, ABWE. And then, of course, on November the 1st, everything kind of stopped, and that happened, and God just worked through all that situation, and even in the midst of that bad situation, God continued to work, and literally, it was just a week before my wife, the last 12 days of her life were spent in a semi-comatose state, but just a week before that, we actually sat down. She says, "I need to talk with you," and I said, "Okay." So we sat down, and she says, "It's obvious that I'm not going to get to go back to the mission field with you." She says, "But that doesn't stop you from going." And she says, "I have been praying for you that you would have freedom to be able to go and feel as though you can go, because that's where your heart has always been." And, you know, I tell you that because that was something that God used in my heart to be able to allow me to be able to have the freedom to be able to explore that in a way of not, and just know that this is God working. So as I began to do that, having conversations with former teammates in Slovakia, a lot of different things, it was actually at the end of a phone call with one of the leaders there with ABWE, and we were talking about me returning to Slovakia, because, I mean, that just kind of seemed sensible. I spoke Slovak, had lived there, different things. And so, and at the very end of the conversation, he says, well, you know, it just, I've been thinking about this. He says, never mind. And I thought, wait, you can't do that at the end of a phone call and hang up. Don't, you know, you don't go, never mind, and then hang up. So I said, no, what do you, you got to tell me, what were you thinking? He says, listen, we had somebody in the country of Poland. And I said, yeah, I do. I know it. I knew who he was, and he says, well, Kenny had to leave because of a visa issue with his, because of his daughter. His daughter was severely handicapped, and he could not get another visa to return back to Poland. And he said, so we've not had anybody in Poland for about 6 years now. We just really would like to reopen the country of Poland. And I was like, well, thanks for telling me that. Hung up, and you know how that works, middle of the night, waking up all the time going, Poland? Are you serious? That's a new language? I mean, it's sort of similar. I know Poland, been there, but Poland? Slovak was hard enough when I was younger. Poland, I'm older now, and I don't know about now. So, but you know, that's what God just continued to impress that on my heart, and that's where I started to go, and I finally called the guy back, and I said, okay, Poland, I'm committed. I said, so, Team Poland, who is that? He goes, yes. And I said, yes, why? He goes, yes, you are. I said, yes, I am, why? He says, the only one. And I said, okay, I'm game, I'll go. I'll be the only one. I mean, if that's what God wants, that's the way to be. So, launched off into that. While all this was going on, I had a young couple that I had been discipling out of our church. Never mentioned to them anything about what was going on with missions, about what God was dealing with in my own heart and everything. And the night before I got ready to go to the missionary orientation with ABWE, I thought, well, I need to go talk to Nick and Jill. So I went and talked to Nick and Jill. I sat down and I said, hey, guys, I said, you need to know this. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to new missionary orientation. God has directed me. I really feel like I have the freedom and the calling to go to the country of Poland. So it just completely blew them out of the water. And so I went to new missionary orientation. A few weeks later, went back for some more training. And during that training, I had a guy that I knew from the mission board come up, and he says, listen, he says, I've been super burdened about this. He said, I am really worried about you going to Poland by yourself. He says, I mean, seriously. He says, I don't think you ought to do it. And I said, well, I think that God wants me to, so here's what. I said, you need to pray the Lord of the Harvest prayer. You know, pray ye therefore the Lord of the Harvest that he'll send forth laborers. And I said, so you need to go and pray that for me. He goes, all right, I'll do that. So he headed back to his office. I headed down the steps, hit the door, and the phone rang. And it was Nick and Jill Toothman from my church, that couple that I had been discipling. And Nick tells me, he says, Brother Ron, he says, wanted to let you know that Jill and I last night started our application for ABWE. And he says, if you would have us, he says, we would love to go to Poland with you. So I turned around, went back up the steps, and I told the guy, I said, hey, man, your prayer life, good night, buddy. I said, could you pray some, you know, about some numbers for me for a lotto? I said, I'll get to the mission field with your prayers overnight. So, no, he didn't do that. But let me tell you, though, in the, how God works, all right? I met Jill Toothman one day when Ricky was at treatment at the cancer center. Jill worked at the cancer center. And Jill came out and she says, hey, she says, a little bird told me that you and your wife were missionaries at one time, and my husband and I are kind of thinking about that and praying about that. And she says, would you mind talking to us about that? And I said, no, I'm never going to talk to you ever about it. See, I'm going to keep you awake, right? Because you're all like, really? So we sat there for a little while. Rick had gone back for treatment, and I wasn't able to go back during that time. So we sat there and talked about it. And God actually initiated this young couple to come on to Team Poland, even in the midst of the situation of the If you guys have been there, the cancer centers are no place that you are great places, are they? They're a place of very little hope. And people are like that in there. And that was one of the things my wife did. She says, you know what, God has given me this, or allowed this to happen in my life. She says, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to steward this properly. And she says, and I'm going to serve God even here. And in doing that, she, in her testimony, and just walking through the door every day with a big smile on her face, we would pray in the car, and she would cry, and she'd say, I don't want to go in there. And I'd say, hon, I know, but we have to. And she goes, that's why God says my grace is sufficient. And she would get up, and we would pray, and she would get on that front door, and there would always be a smile on her face. It was that testimony in that situation, in that brokenness, that began to resonate among other people there in the cancer center. And actually, Jill was like, boy, she constantly comes in. She's always got a smile on her face. She's always greeting people, always encouraging people, always praying with them. Who are they? And that's how God brought Jill and Nick Toothman into my life, into our lives. And so, even in the midst of that, God works. God, see, you have to understand, I've been around to a lot of different churches, and one thing that I have noticing in a lot of different churches, with a lot of different believers, is one word will characterize it: distraction. Totally distracted. Distracted by COVID, and not saying that I'm not downplaying anything. I'm just saying distracted by everything about that, whether you should do this, whether you shouldn't do this, all those issues, political issues, world issues. Everybody's distracted by all these different things. And yet, I want to encourage you about one thing. God is still working. God works no matter what the situation is in our lives, no matter what's happening, no matter how bad we see it is, no matter how bad we feel it is, God is working. God is in control. He is sovereign over all, sovereign in every situation and every person's life. And so we have to understand that. So, in that, you know what is really neat thing is now Nick and Jill, they're part of the team. Recently, we just had another young couple from my church that I served at after I left here, and we was served there. I served at a Mount Carmel Baptist in Luray, Virginia, served up there for about 10 years, and a young couple from that church just recently came on to Team Poland. And so now we have two couples and myself going, and I keep calling that guy back and telling him, man, you keep praying, buddy, because, I mean, you're building the team. We went from just one, now we've got a good number of folks. So we're working, and God is just doing a tremendous work. But, again, in the midst of bad things, in the midst of difficulties, God works. Back in February, I received an email from a missionary in Poland. Never knew the guy, never heard of him, never had nothing about him. And come to find out, he got our missions magazine, the message from ABWE, and he was just reading through it, saw a write-up in there about me being at orientation. Hey, this guy's going to Poland. He's like, oh, hey, that's interesting. He opened it up, folded it over, stuck it on his shelf, and never thought about it again. So, at least he didn't put it in the basement to scare away the mice or something, right? So he just stuck it on his shelf. And he was at a conference, one of the first conferences that they were able to have there in Poland. And a young guy came up to him and says, hey, brother, he says, we are looking for an American missionary to help us with a group of believers and form them into a church. He says, would you be interested? So this missionary said, hey, listen, I would love to, but I am involved in Warsaw and the city of Łódź, and I just can't do this. I'm overwhelmed. But I think I may know of a guy who would be possibly interested. So I get an email from him saying, would you be interested in meeting with a young pastor, a young guy who has a group of believers, and they want to begin a church. And he says, would you? And I said, of course. So started out and got all involved on that new technical wonder of called Zoom. I have never Zoomed in my life. Well, other than in a car. But and don't say anything about that to my boys. So anyway, but I met this guy on Zoom.
Come to find out, he is a Russian-speaking Ukrainian living in Poland. Now, go figure that one, all right? God's mixture and how God works behind the scenes and how God puts things together is just an amazing way. This young man had been living in eastern Ukraine and was forced out of the area by all the fighting there when the Russian separatists began. Actually, it was the Russian army that came in, and they began fighting over there on the eastern border of Ukraine. Anybody ever heard about that, the fighting going on over there? Yeah, it's not in main news anymore. It was like a little blip, and then it's gone, but they're still fighting. But he came as a refugee. He told me, he says, he came home one night, and he told his wife, he says, grab everything you can. We've got to leave now. And so they began walking. They ended up in a refugee camp, lived in multiple refugee camps for about 2 years, and then ended up in Gdansk, Poland. And I asked him, I said, why Gdansk? He says, well, he said, I had a relative that was Polish. Okay, tenuous connection, but I'll go with it. So he says, I came to Gdansk, got a job here, and he says, what I have discovered is that there are more than 100,000 Russian-speaking Ukrainians living in the Gdansk, Sopot, and Gdynia region. And that's a tri-city area of about 1.6 million people. The 100,000 are not counted in with that. They only count, the Polish government only counts Poles when they're doing their census. So there's 1.6 million people living in those three areas. But out of that area is about 100,000 Russian-speaking Ukrainians. So this young guy who had 1 year of seminary began gathering these people together, and he was meeting in his apartment. Guess how many people he has had meeting in his apartment? He just recently moved over to a church. How many did he have? He had 50 people in his apartment. And apartments are awful small. So he says, would you come and help me? How could you tell a guy, say, nope, I can't do that? I said, absolutely, we will come and we will help you. So what we've done is we've made a two-year commitment with, his name is Maxim Slyazin. Maxim lives in the city of Gdansk. We've made a two-year commitment with him to work with him in that group so that they can form together and begin a church. There's also another group that are in the city of Gdynia that he's kind of helped out to gather together, and there's about 30 of them over there in Gdynia. So that's just happened within the last 2 months. So a group of believers have come together, or people who have come together, and they've grown to about 30 in about 2 months. So it's just phenomenal what God is doing. But again, out of that situation, out of the situation of death and all the problems that were going on and war and everything, God brought this young family out, took them out, plopped them down in Gdansk, Poland, in a completely foreign situation for them, everything, and then begins to form a church. You see, God works no matter what. God works in the midst of everything. Look with me here in 1 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 1 and verse 26, and then we're going to go through to my one verse, the area that I want us to do. But chapter 1, verse 26, the Lord says here, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, This is one of my favorite verses, this verse 30 right here. He says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Verse 1 of chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Excuse me. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." If you continue on there, he says, "My speech and my preaching were not with wisdom." And basically what Paul was trying to say right there, he's just laying it out. He's saying, this is not of my own strength. This is not of my own way. This is not of my own planning. Listen, folks, if I had to make the decision about returning to the field, I wouldn't have gone this way. I would not have chosen this way. I would not have gone down that road. I would not have said, yes, Lord, I'll go this way if that means my wife will have cancer and die from it. I wouldn't have chosen it, would you? I wouldn't have. But yet God says, what he takes is the things that confound the wise, the things that confound us, and he takes those things and he brings them out and he says, listen, it's not of us. It's a broken messenger is what he sends. And that's what we are. We're broken. We're broken with all the situations in our lives, but it is through Christ. That verse 30, he says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption." You see, in Christ Jesus, that's who we are. That's who he is to us. We're redeemed by him. We're sanctified by him. We're made righteous in him. And he has given us the wisdom of God, and he's directed us in that. And he says, listen, don't rely on what you know, how you know it, and the way that you know it, and the way that you plan. He says, rely on who I am in you. Rely on who I am completely. The same God, yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am that God no matter what your situation is. I am that same God no matter what you are thinking, no matter what you are feeling. And he says, I am that God who will take that brokenness and multiply it in a way that you cannot ever imagine and glorify himself. And in glorifying himself, bring others to Christ, bring others to that understanding of that redemption and that sanctification and that righteousness. You see, he says, Paul says there in verse 2, he says, I determined not to know anything among you save two things, Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, that's why I was saying that people are distracted. I've actually sat in the services and heard pastors preach, and they've preached more on politics and COVID than Jesus Christ. That's a sad thing, because there's only two things that will change our lives. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Those are the only two things that matter. And you're like, wait a minute, you're saying that these other things aren't important? No, that's not what I said. But there's a difference between important and ultimate. What we do is we get distracted. You know, I really like, for years we've worked with kids. That's one of the things we came here. I think we stayed with you guys. We came and did a kids camp while we were on furlough. Love working with kids. Kids are great, man. I mean, they say the craziest things. You know, they look at you and they say, hey, there's something hanging out of your nose. I mean, they just great stuff, you know. I mean, I love working with kids. And so one of the things I do with kids, though, is I do a lot of illusions. Magic, right? But illusions with them. And one of the main things about illusions is that it's the sleight of hand, right? It's misdirection, right? So, and I'm not going to give away things, but you know the thing where you take the handkerchief and you stick it in your hand and it all of a sudden goes, boof, disappears? Well, the whole idea of it is you're going boof like this, and no, you're not dropping it on the floor. You're dropping it, you have another kind of a fake thumb, all right? There it is. I'm sorry I crashed your day about illusions, but there's a fake thumb. And what you do is you go, whoa, like that, you know? And then this whole time, you're going just like this. It's down here. It's in the fake thumb. But you're going, well, look at that. It's gone. It's misdirection. But the important is here because it's inside of this fake thumb. And you see, that's the whole idea, is that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the only thing that we need to understand and know in our lives. It's the only thing that we need to fall back on and rest in and trust in those times when you are broken and hurting and confused. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, that's the thing. That's the whole thing about what we're talking about here. It's not just me going to Poland. I have a tremendous opportunity. This is exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I am really excited about this. Because as I go through, I see God working. And even in the midst of continued grief and working through those things and issues, because let me tell you what, folks, it's a way different thing. I mean, this is a different animal. I've never done it this way before. I started, Ricky and I, we started dating at Atlantic. We dated for 2 years. And you know why we were dating? On our second time, we had only dated one time. And you know what our next date was? We were teaching back here in the Sunday schools together. We ministered together for 34 years. That's why I said I would have never chosen this. I would have never gone down this way. But yet God says, if you want to glory in something, you don't glory in yourself and your abilities and the way that you see how things should be and the way that you feel comfortable. He says, you glory in me and in my power and in my resurrection and my redemption and my sanctification and my righteousness and in my wisdom. He says, that's where you glory at. That's where you rest at. That's where life is. And you see, that speaks into all of our lives. Because the people that are around us are afraid. Wouldn't you agree with that? They're afraid. One reason that there's so much anger today is because there is so little hope. You know that? There's so much anger with all the different things that are going on that people don't seem sense any hope. That's why they need Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, who is He? Bringing Him in and pulling Him in and showing people who He is and speaking of who He truly is. And then the aspect of Him crucified, not only that, the point there of the death, the burial, the resurrection. But as he says there in verse 30, he says he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is that picture of Christ crucified. How does that function in our lives on a daily basis? How does that work? His crucifixion. You know, that's why Paul says, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Galatians 2:20. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, that's that picture of what it means to be crucified in Christ. It's what that picture of relying on Him and going back to Him and saying, Lord, look at these situations, look at these things. And yes, we could be distracted by them, but back again to that whole point. When Jesus said in John chapter 15, He says, abide in me and I in you, for without me, you can do nothing. Again, it's refocusing, Lord, folks. Hey, we're in a bad spot. But here's the thing. God told us we would be in a bad spot. This isn't a shocker. You know, I've heard people say, well, this isn't the America I grew up in. Well, duh. You know, my Bible says that in the last times, evil men will wax worse and worse, and that people will become lovers of themselves and all that kind. I mean, hey, there it is. God said, by the way, this is happening. This is going to happen. But your rest is not in society, is not in political aspects. It's not in the things that we feel comfortable with. Your rest is in Jesus Christ, no matter what the situation is. And that is the one thing that God has completely and constantly and every day completely impresses upon my life and upon my heart, that when I begin to be overwhelmed by all the different situations, by all the different things, that I must go back and say, Jesus Christ and Him crucified in my life. That's it. And you see, that's the focus of Team Poland. I told the guys as soon as they came on, I told Nick and Jill, I said, hey, let me tell you one thing. There's one thing I want you to understand is that this verse has spoken to me for a long time. And I told them, I said, that verse right there, that is the number one controlling verse for our team. Because that is our focus, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you can't get on board with that and you're like, well, I like doing this and that and other things, I said, that's okay, but those things have to mean come back and bring this out, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so that's the direction that we're headed. That's the direction of our lives. But listen, folks, where are you at with all this? You know, God's been working in my life and God's been doing things. And again, like I said, I know that there are things that are happening here and in your lives, and you guys have experienced this. You've experienced it personally. You've experienced it as a church. You've experienced loss. You've experienced grief. You've experienced all these different things. You've experienced difficult times. You know what I'm talking about. You understand it. And there, maybe it's at different levels and different degrees and different situations. But you understand what I'm talking about, because this is what God says, though. This is the focus. Don't allow ourselves to be distracted. You know, I did this a little while ago, and I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I turned off the news. And I don't care what news. I turned it off. You know what I do? I turn on news occasionally, just online, so I can really quickly go, all right, what's blown up? What seriously has happened? Okay, good, boof, off. I don't even read the articles, nothing. And I do have a Facebook page, but I only use that to update people on this is what's going on in Poland. I don't care what you want to do with your cat. Right? I don't care if you're brushing your teeth. It's fine if you want to do that, but I don't care what our opinions are. Right? What our opinions are based on all the issues and all the situations. You know, I had an old pastor tell me, he says, you know what opinions are? And I was like, no, what's that? He says, pooled ignorance. Pooled ignorance. Pooled, put together. P-O-O-L-E-D, pooled ignorance. Oh, I know that's, I'm sorry, folks. I'm supposed to be making you happy about me being here. But it is true, because we go off and we give our opinion, but what we need to be doing is saying, hey, folks, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, that's what's going to make a difference in your life. Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that's what's going to answer the desperate need in your life, in your heart right now, that unsettledness, that worry. You know, when my one son, he and his wife are living with me because they're buying my house, actually, so that's kind of a neat thing. But he's living with me right now, and he gets ready to go to work. He's working night shift, so that's even a greater thing there. But he goes out, and I always hear him. I'm in my room, and I hear this ripping of Velcro, and I know what that is. That's him putting on all of his gear, his vest, you know, bulletproof vest and all that, or bullet resistant, let's put it that way, vest, and he's putting that things on. And I tell you, there's sometimes where I get kind of concerned. And even in that much, and I have to go back and I have to say, Lord, what he needs to know is you and you're crucified. And I meet him at the door and I say, hey, I want you to remember one thing, Jesus. Just Jesus. Come home if you can, but remember Jesus. And he'll just smile at me. He'll go, okay, Dad. You know how kids do. Okay, yeah, you know. But that's the thing. I want them to know. I want him to know. I call my other son when he gets, I know he works at nights also. And I tell him, I say, hey, buddy, there's only thing one thing you need to remember. He's like, what's that, Dad? I say, Jesus. And you're like, that's so simplistic. No, it's not. Verse 30. He's been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. What else is there? Not really anything. So here's what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with an encouragement, because no matter what the situation is, hey, I'll admit with you, and some of you can agree with me and go, yeah, I've been there. You know what? I wrestle with God a lot. And I mean, it's dirty. I'm down on the floor. It's a ugly situation. You know, it's a snotty, bad kind of situation. And I am literally pouring my heart out before Him in brokenness. And I'm wrestling with Him, and I'm arguing with Him about things. And I'm not suggesting that you argue with Him in that sense, but I'm just like, He's my dad, and I'm taking Him everything. I take Him everything. No matter what I feel, no matter how I feel, no matter what the situation is, I take it to Him. And there have been times where I have just been down and just so broken in Him. And the only thing that I could say is Jesus. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been that broken? Your heart just rended and you don't have anything else? And you're just pouring yourself out before God. And you just say, Jesus. You know why that comes out? Because even in that, God's using it through His Spirit just to show us that's the answer. Where are you this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I mean, truly, as your Savior. Not in the religious tick the box, I've read my Bible, I've prayed today, I've done but I mean, truly as your Savior. Your righteousness is completely in Jesus Christ. No matter what you do, doesn't matter. It's all in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as that kind of a Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior this morning? And folks, do you live in this? You say, yeah, that's where I've been at. I've been there many years. Well, amen. But do we recognize who He is in His crucifixion, in our lives, in that sense of His wisdom, His righteousness, His sanctification, His redemption functioning within my life every day? Because listen, you know what? Going to Poland didn't bring me to that point. What brought me to the point of being willing to go to Poland and brought Ricky and I to the point of being willing to say, you know what? We'll go anywhere, do anything, no matter what our age is, no matter what's going on, no matter what the situation is. It's not because we didn't, that wasn't so that we could gain anything from God. It was because it was the blessing that God had given us in our lives, the rest that we have in Him and the confidence that we have in Him. And it was the outpouring of that. And again, not anything in me. I can tell you that right off. If you want to glory, glory in God. Are you resting in Him, in His finished work, in everything that He does? Or do you have a hope that is in something else? Jesus, yeah, but I need this also. It needs to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. May I take the moment just to invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not something that you're going to tick the box and say, now I can go to heaven and everything's okay, but it is a relationship, one in which God will literally come and dwell with you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you don't know Him, and in any way, you've never trusted Him as your Savior, I invite you to come down, and there will be people here that can help you and guide you through God's Word to show you what it means to know Christ as your Savior. And if you're here, you've made that decision, but yet your rest is not in Him. It has been Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and maybe something else. Or maybe not really Jesus in Him crucified. I invite you to make that decision today and say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for that opportunity. Thank You for showing me that You are everything and that You will fulfill everything no matter what the situation. So please come.
Amen. Well, I hope that you enjoyed that, and I hope you'll be back tonight. Brother Davis has agreed to come back and conduct our evening service tonight at 5 o'clock. And the meeting that Pastor James wanted to have tonight will be moved to next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. But be here tonight. Remember, we're receiving a love offering for Brother Davis. You can just drop it in the box out there in the foyer. Be back tonight. And we're going to ask him if we could ask you a few questions about your ministry. And so if you have some, if you have those ready, he'll take a few minutes before the service tonight, or before the preaching, to answer a few of those questions. That's an interesting part of the world. And certainly they need the gospel, don't they? And please remember that we are receiving recommendations for the office of deacon or trustee. There is a nominating form out at the Welcome Center. If you have a man that you're interested in suggesting that we interview for deacon or trustee, if you would fill that out and drop that in the box as well, and we'll be reviewing those. And as Pastor said last week, we're going to be trying to rotate the deacons and trustees as we can every year. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. He's been so good today. Thank you for the message and for the encouragement and for the challenge. And let's ask the Lord to direct us throughout the day. Father, we thank you for the great preaching. We thank you for the great truths of your word. And help us to stay focused on your heart and your desire and the things that are important to you. Help us to focus on those things and less upon ourselves. I pray, Father, that you'd bless Brother Davis and speed him along to his field of service. We thank you that you're assembling a great team of helpers. We pray, God, that you would do a great and mighty work in Poland. And we thank you for this open door. We pray, Father, that you would bless us throughout the day, bring us all back faithfully to our place of service tonight. We pray that everything that we do today would bring glory and honor to thee.